Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Take it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
You have entered the Geek Parent Zone, and I am Kat Mahoney, and with me is my partner in crime, Josh Hostetler. Josh?
I'm actually the brains behind the evil plans, like, you know, Despicable Me.
Oh, I see. Well, then I guess I get to be the Minions, because I like Minions.
Ba ba na na, ba 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 na 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 na.
You know you're dancing. I love
it. Oh, yeah.
My kids do, too.
Banana. Banana. Well, then, I guess the mastermind and the minion be with you for the next 30 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, games, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And tonight on the Geek Parent Talk Show, we focus on tech security. And so you know it's important to understand what is out there and how to prevent it and when you should notify authorities. In fact, Josh, this week I had been working, I mean, just nonstop on fixing computers. I think, did you see my Facebook page where I had to
fix all these? I did. I was like, oh, I don't envy that at all. I've been on that.
It was, you know, first it starts with my husband. He's running late for work. You know, he says to me, babe, I think I've got a virus. I don't know. Can you clean my system and, you know, try to fix it and clean some of the viruses out while I'm at work? Sure, no problem. My daughter comes downstairs while I'm trying to set everything up, and she says, Mom, I think I have a virus. I get this pop-up that keeps coming up, and it keeps saying something about a virus. And, you know, so she says, can you fix it? So I tell her to set it down, and I'll get to it in a minute. Then my son comes in. You know, he says, Mom, my iPhone, the battery is dying and it's just not charging. I plug it in, it's not working. Can you fix this? Sure, set it aside. I'll get to it. Then my other son says to me, hey, Mom, I'm on a game and somebody's over here trying, I think they're trying to hack in or they're trying to get information from me. What do I do? I don't know, Josh. I don't think I get paid enough as a mom to do this.
You know, that's me all day, every day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, I said, okay. I had everybody line their stuff up, and I had to go one by one through everything, clean everything out, and then, you know, fix my son's iPhone battery. But, you know, the battery on it, though, it's slowly dying. And obviously, you really can't fix the battery. You have to replace it.
Right.
So, you know, so that was one thing that it has to be replaced. I can't fix that. And then my other son, somebody was trying to, I guess, get information from him, and he was smart. He came to me, you know, he asked me what we should do. And, you know, I told him, walked him through on how to report him to the admin and so forth. But, you know, there's a lot of parents out there that they don't know how to do this stuff. And they're completely clueless. And I mean, when you get, what do you do when you're a parent that's not in the industry and you have some, you know, one of your kids coming to you and say, Mom, I think my computer's being hacked, or I think somebody's trying to get information from me, or I have a virus, you know, that it's so difficult for parents who aren't in the industry and who have no clue about it in order
well,
to fix
it. But honestly, for people in the industry, they're getting so creative now with everything that you get stuff that looks pretty legit, and if you're not right on your game, I mean, it could happen. It's happened to me before, so
right. It's
you just got to be careful.
That's right. It's a very tough industry for both veterans and new players, but there's some really important things that I think parents, even if you're, especially this day and age, you know, that they need to know, and it's pretty simple. You don't have to know, you know. It's like being a mom and your kid's sick. It's a simple thing. You give them Tylenol, you get the fever down, you know, things like that. You don't have to know the entire system of the body and how it works. So
right.
There's simple things that as a parent, when your kid comes to you or, you know, or your spouse who says that they think they have a virus, what should we do? So I want to start off with the basics just a bit, Josh, just to kind of go over what some things mean in kind of layman's terms. You know that parents who aren't familiar with these terms, they get kind of flabbergasted. They don't know what to do. So let's start off with what a virus actually is. You know, a virus. It's a piece of code, okay, in the computer system, and it copies itself. Okay, it really is detrimental.
Like,
to your system, and I'm not talking detrimental as it's going to kill you, but it can kind of change your entire system around and then delete things, get into some things. Exactly. It can corrupt the system and then, destroy the data. So, and I'll give you an example. I worked on a project for 2 years, and I was working on a business plan for a company. And this is way back before they had – okay, we were using floppy disks. Let's put it that way. But so this was a while ago, but I completely lost everything. I ended up getting a virus, and it completely wiped my hard drive. And I lost 2 years' worth of a business plan for a company.
Ooh.
And it was – So devastating to me, because that's all you really have. And I know it's not going to kill you, but it really, that's 2 years worth of work for a company, you know? So,
right.
So things like that, a virus can be very detrimental to your business, to your lifestyle, even a personal. So that's basically what a virus is. We don't want viruses. Viruses
no.
are just
they shut down servers. They shut down computers.
Yep.
They do all sorts of nasty things and redirecting you and in capturing info or capturing stuff. So no, viruses are nasty.
Right. It can shut down a complete city. I mean, especially nowadays with the way cities are run on. I mean, we depend so much on technology. ATM machines, you know, our debit credit cards, our, you know, your medical records, you know, Social Security stuff, healthcare. I mean, everything is in the lights, the traffic lights are runoff system of computer systems. I mean, if a virus got into our system, it could be catastrophic and can shut down a complete city. Or a country, for that matter, if we depend on it so much. So viruses are not good, and we're not trying to scare you, but this is the truth of what is out there on the internet and in the computer and technology industry. Now, one of those is I also want to get to is called keylogging, and keylogging is basically a lot of gamers actually don't like keylogging. Because keyloggers can get into your system, and what it does is it's a keystroke, and they kind of it records your movements, the keystroke. Now, if you look at your keyboard, if you're sitting at your computer right now, and you look at your keyboard, your keys are set a certain way. This is how we learn how to type. We know where the letters are at and the numbers are at and so forth. And that doesn't change. That is standard. That kind of stays that way. So when a keylogger gets into your system, it records your keystrokes. Now, when it does that, it can record your passwords, your login information, you know, numbers, PIN numbers that you're typing into your bank account online, things like that, because of the fact that it's recording your keystrokes. And you have no clue and no idea that somebody is actually viewing and recording your keystrokes. So this has actually been a problem for the gaming industry, too, because we use our keyboards like crazy. And we use, you know, we have to log into the games, and we have to, you know, use commands for certain things. And so a lot of viruses out there, a lot of hackers out there have been trying to get into your game systems,
your gold.
Game. Yes. Oh, gosh, I've had that done. I've logged into World of Warcraft, and my whole character was naked. You know, and you work like 10 years on this thing. You're like, what?
And you weren't doing it on purpose, so.
I know. Do you believe that?
I've heard of people logging in and their character was naked and straight up above of one of the cities, one of the major cities, but they were at the very top of the world. So when they logged on, their character basically fell then.
Oh, no. That's funny, but that's not funny. but it's true. I mean, and a lot of parents don't understand, and a lot of people don't understand that for gamers, it's not about, you know, okay, you can say to your kid, it's just a game, get over it. But when you spend all that time working and trying to succeed for something, it's just like when you're a company. And you know, you've had 2 years of that business plan that you were working on, you lose it. It's the same way for gamers. They've worked so hard to get up to where they're at in a video game. And it's time-consuming, and it takes a lot of dedication. And to log in to find everything is gone, it's very heartbreaking. So, you know, for parents, just, you know, have a little bit of sympathy and understand that when your kid is very serious about not getting viruses or not having a key logging virus, that's important to them. What else do we have?
Well, we have something that kind of piggybacks on that, and that is malware. And malware is it's a term used to refers to a variety of different hostile and intrusive software. And it's it's the all encompassing. Viruses, worms, Trojan horses, ransomware, spyware, adware, scareware, and other malicious programs. And it can take the form of numerous things like executable codes, which, I mean, if you click on something that's an executable and if it's .ex or .exe or .msi, don't click on it. It's an executable.
Right.
It's an executable, certain scripts on websites. That's why you have to be careful and really pay attention to the websites you go to. And if something looks a little funny, well, then don't click on it. And most clicks, like if you, say where you got an email that had a link and it says, you know, hey, click here for, you know, the pictures I sent you. And then you go, and if you hover over it, anytime you hover over it, it will generally show you what you're really or where you're really going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it may say, hey, get your pictures here, or hey, here's my Excel document, or, you know, hey, have you seen my photos I posted? And you click on it, and it says, www.nefariouswebsite.com or,
right.
You know, something like that, or some just a big, long string of letters. Well, then you're getting redirected and you have the possibility to get a virus. That's actually how the few times that the company I work for, that we've gotten severe viruses. I mean, they have crippled the network for a week at a time. And
wow.
It's because people don't pay attention when they're hovering over links. And once they click on this, it sends them to a website. Once they go to the website runs a script. And guess what? System's corrupted. So it can take the form of executable codes, scripts, active content, and, I mean, just other software. So malware is kind of the overall encompassing thing. And then you have, let's see, one of them that I mentioned is spyware. Spyware is, honestly, spyware's if you download and you're not paying attention to Java or anything like that, it downloads spyware. Spyware doesn't really – it can infect your system and it can redirect you. Most of the spyware – everybody's probably has some sort of spyware on their system. I've never run a computer, even my own, that didn't have some kind of spyware on it, because anything can really constitute spyware. But all spyware does is it's software that gathers information about you or your organization without your knowledge, and it passes that info on to whoever wrote it. So it does it without you knowing it.
Right. And that is sometimes that can include, for instance, a lot of people will go in their browser, you'll see where it says to fill out auto information so that when you go to websites, you can be that lazy human that doesn't want to fill out the forms, and you can just click on, you know, to fill it out, and it will fill in all those forms. All that stuff that's held there in the browser is that information that some of the spyware can gather. For instance, your address, your phone number, social security numbers, things like that. Of course, and so you want to make sure you don't store that stuff, really. I mean, obviously addresses and your name and email is going to be out there anyways, but you don't personal information. Social security numbers,
no.
We don't want to put that into a save document. We don't want to send that to anybody. Okay, so...
Nope.
You know, just be careful with what you do, because that's what spyware can collect.
Yep. Spyware is unfortunately very easy to get. It's probably out of all of them, spyware is the most easiest to catch and to infect your computer, because it takes so many different forms, and it will eventually slow down your system. It'll catch your info. It'll do lots of other nasty things. So. And then one of the last types, and by no means the only types, but one of the last ones I'm going to talk about is worms. And if you've watched any of the hacking movies or Office Space or something like that, they always talk about worms, and they kind of take little bites out of stuff. But they're just like a worm. They worm their way through your system. And they replicate itself in order to spread to other computers. And it just kind of catches little data here and there and makes a very small presence known. That way you don't try to clean it. The whole idea of a worm is to be in your system and you not know it.
Right. And this is it's actually a pretty popular way of, moving from one system to another. Many businesses get this, and it's a pain to get rid of. In fact, I had a friend who worked at a law firm who had an email and was telling everybody not to click on emails, and somebody in the staff clicked on an email, and from that point, it not only got sent to the entire office, but the another replicated email of itself got sent out to their clients. And so, he spent the whole day physically picking up the phone and contacting clients to apologize and tell them, you know, if they haven't already, please don't click on that email. It's really not from them. It's, you know, and so that's how worms kind of maneuver their way into from office to office and home to home. And so again, just like Josh said, just don't click on things that you aren't familiar with. If somebody, you know, sends you an email and you don't know who it is, and sometimes, Josh, am I right that it can be from somebody you know? That's how a worm works.
Generally, most of the time, if you're going to get infected, it honestly will be by somebody you know, because it's somebody that their system got infected. And what I tell everybody at work is, you know, it doesn't matter if you know the person or you know who it's from. If you aren't expecting it, then don't click on it. If you're not sure, call them. If you don't know and you can't get a hold of them, delete it. Then call them, and when you finally get a hold of them, have them resend it. It's very easy to just resend that email from your client, and it saves so much trouble. We've had three major virus outbreaks, and it's all something that was clicked. Somebody clicked on something, and it was from an internal email that it actually may not have been sent from the internal email, but they made it look like it did. And the one time it took all of our file servers and it hid every single file. So I had to go through and actually unhide them. That wasn't too bad, except for I had to physically, one man had to go through 90 computers and run multiple scanners on them. And then the last one that we caught was one of the ransomwares. And a lady clicked on it, and it ended up, she called me in to help her out with the computer. I'm looking through it, and I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, oh no. And I pulled this computer from the system, shut it down, and I ran back to my desk, and I disconnected all drives so it couldn't go any further. It encrypted about 6,000 folders, not files.
Oh my
folders.
Gosh.
And then within those folders could be hundreds of files, and then it encrypted all those files. And once you encrypt it with a ransomware, there's no getting it back. It's gone. And luckily, we had a backup, but the backup was, it hadn't ran that night yet, and it was from the day before. So we were able to recapture a lot of info, but not all the info. It shut the system down because at that point in time, I tell everybody, I close all access until I'm sure everything's clean, and I don't allow people to get back in. So, you're running. The first time it was a week. It took me a week to get everybody back through. And then it took me about 3 days to get everything back up and going. And that's 3 days of downtime. I mean, that's 3 days of taking orders and writing them by hand. So.
Yep. And for a company, that's a lot of profits lost.
Yes.
For 3 days. But, and for our listeners, even those who are new to the technology and who are, technophobes, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to get involved with it. I really want to clarify to parents that simply because of things like this, you do not be afraid to use technology. Okay, just like human germs, computers can get viruses, and there are millions of viruses out there. That doesn't mean you need to lose sleep over these things or worry 24/7 what your kids are downloading. Well, obviously you're going to worry what they're downloading, but you don't need to worry that they're going to sit there and click on something link after link after link and get virus after virus after virus. In fact, most computers don't get any major – we're talking – home computers, they don't really get any major virus that can't be cleaned. Most of the hackers, a hacker who really wants to exploit something or get into computer networks or, make a profit or prove something, and that's usually what hackers do, most of the time they're focusing on the businesses, the big guys, the government, because they want to prove something, that they can do it. So, you really don't let any of this scare you away or keep your kids from it. And I'm telling you right now, if you keep your kids from it, they're not going to learn anything because this is the way of the future.
Yes. I mean, that's the number one still rising job is something to do with IT. The field is expanding every day. So if you want to keep your kids from it, because you're worried about this stuff, you're really doing a disservice to your kids because they're going to be around it in school. And honestly, they could probably tell you what's what on it.
That's right. That's right. And you can actually find out more in mom's terms in my book, A Savvy Mom's Guide to Parenting Generation Z. I have a list of different terms and how to beef up your security and what to do when you come across some security issues, as well as some ESRB ratings and what games are and so forth. It's the mom's guide. So it's A Savvy Mom's Guide to Parenting Generation Z. You can get it off Amazon. And we'll have some of these definitions on our website at thegeekparent.com. And just before we leave, Josh, you are our technical expert. So I want you to kind of quickly go over some of the prevention, the way that people can prevent these.
So now that we scared you all beyond belief about everything that you can get on your computer, it's honestly really easy to protect yourself. Common sense, first off, you know, what I explained earlier, is just paying attention to the things you're doing and clicking on. And then some of the software that you can actually use. I don't pay for any of the software. I use only the free ones because, honestly, they're going to do well enough for what you need. You're not a, you know, if it's on a home PC, it's not a major corporation. So some of the ones that I actually run, I have a active running virus scanner, and the one that I usually use right now is Avast, and that's it just seems to run better. I've ran the gambit of a bunch of them. There's AVG out there, and I've used Microsoft's in-house one. I've gone to kind of Avast now, and that's an active running one. So that's actively checking your system, and if you download one, it will stop it, and it's pretty good. It stopped a few of them. It stopped a few things that I didn't want it to, but it stopped a few of them, and it will do your scans that you want to. And then while we're on the topic of scans, there's one called Malwarebytes, and it's a free one. You can download a free one, and that one you just run if you have a virus. You can run it every week or so if you want to, but you have to actually physically run it. It's one that I've used for several years. It's the one that I use to clean these systems. It's a very robust cleaner, and between the two, I can usually catch everything that I'm trying to prevent. And those are the two that I use. I know there's some other ones out there. There's SpyBot Search and Destroy, which is good for spyware. But honestly, between Malwarebytes and Avast, I've gotten most protection that I need.
Nice.
And then as far as keeping your computer running smoothly, I don't know if most of you know this, but when you uninstall a program, you don't actually fully uninstall the program. It leaves a lot of registry entries and programs behind. Now, this program is not for the faint of heart or for the beginner, because it does delete registry entries. But the one I use is Revo Uninstaller, and that will go through and that will fully uninstall programs. And they have different modes. They have built-in, safe, moderate, and then extreme. And you can mess up a system, so it's not for the faint of heart. But if you have confidence in yourself and you can walk through and follow the instructions, it's a pretty good one for uninstalling programs. And then one of the last ones that I install on my computer is called CCleaner. And CCleaner goes through and it cleans up your programs too. It does have an uninstaller and it has a startup where you can stop some startup programs. But what it really does is it cleans up the registry of anything that's not being used. So it will look if the registry entry has an attached program to it or some attached info to it. And if it doesn't, then it deletes it. It goes through and it will delete all of the temporary files that you have in your system and whatnot. So those are really the four that I swear by, and we'll have those up on the website for you guys to take a look at them. But they're pretty good for me, in my opinion.
I like those too. I'm with you there on CCleaner as well, Josh. I use that one quite often. And, well, that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office this evening, and we are not viruses. So the links, photos, and more information on anything we discussed tonight can be found from our website at thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
And we won't be here next week. Actually, I won't. Josh might. Otherwise, you can catch us in a couple of weeks. I am heading to Virginia Beach. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking with you again right here every Thursday evenings at 6:30. Until then, I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. See you in a few weeks. Same geek time, same geek channel.